o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with the Como Brothers from New York. Andrew and Matt were named Artist of the Month for August on Indie Music Bus, and Andrew took time to sit down with me, talk about a lot of things the band has coming up, including an October release of their brand new first full-length album entitled Baby Steps. Andrew's a recent graduate of Providence College in Rhode Island. Congratulations, Andrew. And his brother Matt graduated from Loyola back in 2011. If you're out in the Long Island area, be sure to go August 23rd to Mulcahy's and catch the Long Island Music Festival, where the Como Brothers will be performing. First up tonight, I'm going to talk to Walter Hargrave from Indie Music Bus, who's going to kind of tell us how that works, what it's like to get on the bus, what it takes to get on the bus, and talk a little bit about the Como Brothers. Before we talk to Walter, I want you to hear the first song of the night by the Como Brothers, called Underneath It All, off the Speed of Sound EP.
Oh, tonight on Indie Views Artist Spotlight is the Como Brothers show, and this is Walter Hargrave from Indie Music Bus. A group I had on not too long ago was the Upset Victory, and they had won Artist of the Month on Indie Music Bus, and there were so many good bands that month that were up for Band of the Month. It was really a hard decision for everybody to make, and I think after we all saw that, we kind of decided, hey, you know, we want to give them a little more exposure, a little more attention. So now I'm going to start featuring the Artist of the Month on Indie Music Bus as a guest on my show, and tonight that's the Como Brothers. So I want Walter to kind of tell everybody what the process is, how people get to be Artist of the Month for Indie Music Bus, and what you can do to get your music submitted. So, hey, Walter.
Hello there. How you doing, Kiva?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. And I'll be glad to tell you a little bit about the Indie Music Bus and the process that we go through. First thing is, how does someone get on the bus? Basically, when an artist or a musician follows me on Twitter, we have a music promotion engine that will then retrieve their bio and their website information. We visit them as soon as we can, and if we enjoy their music, then we add them to the bus. From there, we kind of watch them for a few months and see how they're doing, see how they work with other people, decide if maybe that they could be act of the month, that kind of material. And if we decide that they are, we send them a tweet and ask them if they'd like to be involved and to go visit a blog page we have that details what all is included. And they usually respond back that they want to do it. And at that point, I would add them to our private group on Facebook where I put their music and a link to their Facebook page and other pages for the judges to listen to. That happens between the 1st and the 15th of every month. I do the nominations, and I pick about 8 bands, or bands and artists both. I try to mix up the genres, and I try to mix up if it's a band or a solo act so that there's some diversity there.
And that, the month that Upset Victory won, that's what, it was kind of, I was telling my husband about it the other night, it really was just what the judges each were in the mood for, because there were different genres. They were all very different, but they were all very good in their individual areas. So it was really just kind of, just what the judges were in the mood to vote for, because they were all great candidates.
And that's why I feel, every now and then what I do is I go back through all the nominees, and I'll pick them again for another month to get another try in case somebody, changes their mind or feels different, give them another mm-hmm. chance. So I thought that was a good thing to do.
I think it is too. I do. Because it's hard when you have that many and you have to pick just one, because they are really good. And like the Como Brothers, in what you do in following these people, you make sure that they're an artist or a band that's really working for themselves and trying to put it out there, and will work just as hard to promote themselves and kind of help us promote them, instead of just sitting back and letting everybody else do the work for them. And the Como Brothers are one of the hardest working duos in the indie music scene. That they truly just work their butts off.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like it. I've had a lot of artists do the complete opposite. They got good music and everything, but they're really not social, and they act like they're already the big band, the big thing, and I think that harms them in a way. But I mean, maybe it will work for them. It's hard to say. But for me, it's hard for me to work for those people day in and day out when they don't show any appreciation, and they really don't promote anything other than themselves.
I've seen that. It took me a little while to get to the point where I saw, people get Artists of the Month through you guys or through MSI. You assume that they want to get the publicity, the things that they get out of it, which is airplay and an interview on my show. And sometimes they don't get back with you. They don't contact you to do the interview. And we're working hard for a lot of different people, so we're equally as busy, and we don't have time to chase them down. So it's good to have a band that wants to work for themselves and wants to help us work for them, because working together, we can do so much for each other.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to say about the Como Brothers. They're amazing, and how much they juggle at one time. They're really getting it done. and people will take notice in that. They have great songwriting. Their performances are amazing. Their personality when they're working with people is great. They create relationships as they promote others as well as themselves. And I think everybody should watch for them in their town in the near future. I think they're really going to go places.
I think so, too. And I think for other bands, they're one to look up to and kind of look and see how they work and what they do to get themselves out there. You know, they have been super, super busy since even before getting Artist of the Month. They're really all over Twitter. They're all over Facebook. They're very busy. They've had different things coming up, gigs, you know, release shows, everything. But they still have the time to take the time, you know, to sit down with me and give an interview and do it pretty quickly. So I was really grateful for that because I know they have regular jobs, too. And they just have really busy lives.
Really is incredible. They definitely deserved our Band of the Month. And I'm sure that then they'll be entered for Band of the Year, and they have a good chance of winning that, too. And that would be awesome to give them the prizes that the Band of the Year gets. But so other people would get on the bus, they can go to indiemusicbus.com, and on the upper left of the menu, and now is the first menu item on my site that they can click on submit music to Indie Music Bus, and I got a pretty nice write up there how to do it, what's involved, and what they get for free, and how to become Artist of the Month, and all that. That's pretty much all on the site now, and I made it much easier for them to sign up and what have you.
Awesome, and I'd like to see all these artists getting on the bus. You know, I was happy to see this month one of the artists that's up for it is Ashley Ashton, who was a guest on my show a few weeks back. So I was really happy, you know, that you know, through talking to people, you know, getting the word out. And I told Satellite Mind when I interviewed them, I said, you know, you need to look into Indie Music Bus. You need to look into MSI. You know, and these are things that they didn't know about, so they definitely wanted to get on that and, you know, go one more level and get more help and where we can all work together.
Thank you very much for that, and I would love to work with them, and I appreciate the interview, and go Como Brothers.
Yeah, and thank you for everything that you do for the artist. For me, you're giving me great guests to get to interview and put their music out there and share it. And I'm really grateful for that because, you know, my show's pre-recorded. This goes on Monday night. My guests are the Como Brothers. But as this is pre-recorded, tomorrow night I'm going to see the Upset Victory. So I'm really happy that I get to go see them in person now.
That's
since
cool.
I interviewed them. Yeah, so two for two now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wish I could. Nobody ever comes to Florida.
Now, I think everybody comes to Florida and then nobody comes here, and I'm just lucky that the Upset Victory are from Cincinnati, and that's only 45 minutes from me, so I get to go to one of my favorite venues, and the show is 18 and over, so I get to take my daughter, where a lot of times I don't get to take her because she's not 21, but now she can kind of go and get to enjoy the music too and then pass it along to that generation. So it all works out really good.
That's cool. Let me know how it goes, how the show is.
I will. I plan to interview them for Indie News at Noon too.
Nice.
So, yeah, get them out there even more.
Next up is Bad Karma, Artist Choice Song of the Night off the Still Waters EP.
Jenny works and she's always alone. She's never scared, you can tell by tone. She won't back down for free. I hear the crackdown lurking in her apathy. There goes the clock, can you hear the alarm? The sun will shine every day till it's gone. Leave her for me so I won't see her lying in her vanity. Bad karma's gonna get you. Getting cold outside. mind, put her heart on the shelf. Drive out what's drawn and you will find out a lesson in your afterthought. Feelings hide but they're never concealed. They'll eat your soul and they'll numb what is real. Don't lose them, I tried, you can't choose them. But follow all the warning signs. Bad karma's gonna get you.
Yes, it's just me.
Doing it all by yourself. Taking the brunt of it all yourself.
Exactly.
Well, then nobody can steal the spotlight from you, right?
That's exactly right.
So, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I just had dinner, and now I'm just hanging out.
You guys have been really busy lately.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of different stuff between music videos and some live shows and stuff like that. We've been pretty busy, so...
Yeah, I noticed that you're all over the place. You're all over Twitter. You're all over Facebook, social media. You guys have got it down, and people retweet you a lot.
Right.
And the reason I'm talking to you is because you guys are the artist of the month for August. But you guys, you do a really good job of promoting yourselves and all. And do you attribute a lot of your success to how much work you put into it and promote it, or just that you have really good, loyal fans who share everything with everybody?
I think it's just how much you put into it. However much you put into it, that's how much you're going to give out, you know what I mean? But, we just try to keep at it as much as we can and just try to keep up with it.
Is that hard to do when you're doing everything, like doing the videos and doing the gigs? Is it hard to take the time to do the social media aspect of it?
Between myself and Matt, you know, we try to just, either one of us will take it, you know, either for the day or for a couple of days, and it's just, you just got to be mindful of it and when you have downtime and try to just, keep up with that, so.
And I guess that is helpful, having a partner to kind of, to do that with, you know.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah.
Hey, brother, it's your turn.
Exactly. It takes two to tango, as I always say, so.
I know a lot of people say, like when they tour, go on the road, you know, that's really a test of relationships, dynamics, friendships, how well you get along with each other, because it really pulls on you. Is it easier or harder that you guys are brothers?
I think it's easier. Because you can, there's that bluntness factor where you could, you know, tell them exactly what's on your mind in terms of any issue that comes up. You don't really have to walk on eggshells as much if you're afraid of insulting somebody, even though, you know, we do insult each other from time to time, definitely. But we know that, we know where we're coming from, and it's from a good spot, and it's all from good intentions.
And you know, if you have a fight, doesn't matter, you're still going to see each other at the end of the tour or at the end of the gig. Thanksgiving still come around, and Christmas still comes around, and there's no getting away from each other, so...
Exactly.
You've got to work at it.
Exactly. We share the same room, so, I mean, we have to wake up and see the other guy the next day, so...
What's it going to be like when you don't have that, when you aren't together? on a daily basis? Like when one of you moves somewhere else, what is that going to be like?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you exactly how that will be like, but I mean, I guess to give you some insight into that question, I just came home from Providence College, and you know, we weren't together for most of the year, and to keep the songwriting process and stuff like that going, we would use, you know, Skype and phone calls and stuff like that, and little voice memos on the iPhone just to keep up with writing songs and keeping it creative.
And that's a really good part of social media now and technology, is that you can use things like Skype and, you know, like I've talked to other people, they get voice lessons or guitar lessons, you know, from teachers that are in another country.
Right.
Or another end of the country. So I think it saves you a little bit of time, you know, where before you'd have to travel to get together to do those things. You know, now if you just have an hour in the evening, you don't have to give up a whole weekend, you know, to get together to do something. You can just spend an hour and get it done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Next up is another new song off the upcoming Baby Steps album called Straight Face.
Be growing on you. You say I'm really nice. I think you're pretty stoned. Well, you can't be growing on me. I want you in my life, but you can't be my own. The clouds are keeping me down, pushing my feet to the ground. She wasn't there when I woke up, leaving me broke. Yes, I can say it with a straight face. Your love is for me, and I've been thinking about your kisses sitting under the tree. Well, if wrong is looking right, then I'll let it be. I love your smile, it runs for miles from my land to your sea. My love was too late. I feel my heart melt. I look like a fool. Well, ice cream, it comes with a spoon, with sprinkles on top, a cherry or two. The clouds are keeping me down, pushing my feet to the ground. She wasn't there when I woke up, leaving me broke. Yes, I can say it with a straight face. Your love is for me, and I've been thinking about your kisses sitting under the tree. Well, if wrong is looking right, then I'll let it be. I love your smile, it runs for miles from my land to your sea. We'll be right back.
How long have you guys been doing music?
We've been doing it probably since, we've been in and out of bands since, since high school. And we've been playing for little kids, though. I mean, it stems all the way back to piano lessons as a little kid, even though we didn't keep up with the piano. That's what started the whole thing. And then we just, moved on to guitar and then eventually songwriting.
Now, were you like most kids when their parents get them piano lessons? They hate going to the lessons. Or did you really like it?
For piano lessons, I was probably one of those kids that just didn't like it as much. As you're talking about with guitar, I took lessons from about sixth to 10th grade, and then I stopped for a while. I didn't want to keep going to the lessons, and I think that was the best thing for me, because after a time off of regimented lessons, it gave me an appreciation for just learning things on my own. And then I went back to taking lessons when I was in college. So the little hiatus from lessons definitely gave me a time of self-discovery with my instrument.
Now, how many instruments do you play? Is it the guitar and the piano, or have you branched out and gone beyond that?
I mean, piano I dabble with. I took a couple lessons in college, but it's mainly guitar and vocals. But I also, I dabble with the drums. I'm not a drummer, but I like to fool around on the drums a little bit. Also the saxophone.
Oh, so very versatile.
Saxophone, though, I haven't played really since high school, but I played from about 5th grade till 12th.
You need to work on that and get better at it, so when you go in Letterman,
yeah,
you can play the saxophone.
Exactly.
I think, yeah, that gets you more attention if you do that.
Yeah.
Now, you said you just got back from college. Are you done, or
yep,
just on a break?
I just graduated from Providence College in Rhode Island. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a major in management and then a double minor in finance and music.
Now, do you plan to do something with it separate from music, or to kind of use it to help you with your music?
I think it all helps with the music, especially since as independent artists, it definitely, it's running a business when you don't have, the help of management and a label and all that kind of stuff. And you're pretty much running it on your own. And we found that degree and the classes have definitely helped us, run our own business. So, it definitely all helps.
Now, like I said, you're all over social media, and you're kind of on top of that. And then getting on board with Indie Music Bus and, other aspects. I know you've thanked a lot of people for their help before. What advice do you give to indie musicians out there in the balance of working on your music or in working on the business aspect of it? And how do you make it work? And for one to not overwhelm the other and, to make it successful?
Well, I mean, I think the main priority, no matter what, when it comes down to it, is the craft of actually playing and singing. You could do as much social media as you want, but at the end of the day, if you can't hold a tune and if you can't impress somebody with that, I don't think you're really going to go anywhere. As far as singing and playing, you have to be the best of the best. And at the end of the day, that is the greatest marketing tool you can have is just being able to play a song and, wow somebody like that.
Now, do you get to play as many live events as you would prefer, or would you like to do more?
I would like to do much more. We've been playing recently out here and there, but, we really want to do a college tour and get moving on that. Definitely we want to tour more and play more.
Have you gotten to do a college tour before?
We've never done a college tour. We've played at colleges, nothing official, but we've been talking to some different organizations, and we want to get something going where hopefully play in front of bigger artists, and if not, just have our own shows at a bunch of different colleges, probably up and down the Northeast.
I know I talked to a musician on my show from Huntington Beach, California, and he spends a lot of time touring, the college, the university circuit and doing shows there. And I had really never heard of that before I talked to him. I wasn't familiar with that because back when I was in college, I don't know, maybe people did that, but the internet wasn't what it is now.
Right.
So I don't think that people really knew. It's probably more local you know, people and local bars and all, and not touring so much.
Sure.
So what is that like? Tell people what that is like doing a college tour.
Well, I mean, we've never done a full on college tour. We've played at different colleges, you know, whether it be a friend's college, our own college that we were attending at the time. We've never done an actual college tour, but you know, we definitely want to do something like that because that's where you definitely cultivate a fan base, a huge fan base, and it also pays. It also pays to play those kind of shows. So we're definitely looking into doing something, hopefully this fall.
I hope that works out. I think the fall would be a good time to tour too, and you know, the kids aren't burnt out yet. It's not spring, and you know, they're pumped up, and it's football time, and you know, party time, and
exactly.
You know, and ready for the music.
Not only that, we're also coming out with our full-length album on October 1st, so it would be great timing, especially with all the new material coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw in the Reverb Nation, the other people in the band, are they with you all the time, or is it just when you're doing gigs or just in the studio?
Our keyboardist, Tim, I've known him since I was 3, so we see him all the time, even when we're not doing things musically. And John, he was my college roommate in Providence, and I met him through Tim because he was Tim's roommate freshman year, and then we all ended up living together later in college. So, I mean, I hung out with them all the time, and then and Justin we met recently, this past, I believe it was March. So, you know, we all hang out outside of the music as well as within the music.
And that's cool that it kind of, through one, you met the other. And again, it kind of assures that the dynamic works.
Right.
You know, because somebody knows how the other person works. So, that exactly. I mean, that's good that you've kind of fallen into being with the right people at the right time.
Yeah, you know, being in a band is like being on a team. There has to be some chemistry inside of the music and outside of the music. So it definitely is a good thing.
The next song of the night is called I Don't Like You off the Still Waters EP.
You got some nerve coming up to me with your designer clothes and argumentative needs. So I already don't like you. And you think you're so cool, but I've had enough. Oh, I would do better without you. Quite easily get out of my face. It's really just not your place. And if I've got a bone to pick with you, you better run, cause I don't like you. Move out of my way. I can't stand anything you've got to say. Your pessimism is not. So many secrets in your closet, you don't know what to do to keep them hidden. So I hope you drown it in all your lies, then sink to the bottom till no one hears your cries for attention. She was the girl that got to run to, cause she's always giving you things you never get in your dreams. The only difference is I got no rest, singing, never had to battle with no bulletproof chest. I used to think that everything was fine, going, everything was coming from my mind, flowing. I rhyme for my wealth, I sing for myself, and if I want a Grammy then she put it on a shelf. Get out of my face, it's really just not your place. And if I've got a bone to pick with you, you better run, cause I don't like you. Move out of my way. I can't stand everything you've got to say. Your pessimism is nothing new. I gotta say, I don't like you.
I think one thing I found funny was on your Reverb Nation bio, where it does the sounds like thing. And I've seen so many bands on Reverb Nation do an A&R for the station. And I think that you're the first one that I've seen that says, sounds like the Como Brothers band. So, you know, you're very honest and you know, not trying to tie yourself. I mean, you do say other ones you sound like, but you're who you guys are. And, you know, kind of not pushing popularity based on what other people like. It's kind of, it's who you are.
Right. Right. You know, I mean, people always love to draw comparisons between bands, and we're just, you know, we definitely have our influences. People, you could definitely hear our influences within our music. And, but we're just trying to stress, you know, we're who we are, and, you know, we hope everyone likes that.
Now, how did you decide, like, the route that you were going to take musically? Have you both always agreed on what you like or the sound that you want to convey? Or did you kind of, was it just organic, that it's just what felt right, and you just kind of went that way?
There was never really a discussion about, like, what music we want to, what direction we want to go through musically. It more kind of just happened. We were both into the same kind of music. We grew up on the Beatles, so we always had a great appreciation for songwriting and stuff like that. And, you know, luckily for me and Matt, we've always had pretty much the same tastes. And, you know, I think that helped a lot. In the songwriting, you know, Matt definitely has a little bit of a darker tinge. And any song that's a little more mysterious, darker, is usually Matt's writing that section. Anything that's a little more happy-go-lucky, for the most part, is usually me. And I think it's a good, you know, it's like the yin and yang effect. We balance each other out, and it's a really cool thing.
Does that reflect your personality too, or just your songwriting style?
You know, I haven't really even thought about that. I guess, you know, it might reflect our personality a little bit. I mean, you know, Matt is definitely more, you know, he's more of a realist. He's more by the books. I guess I'm a little more, I don't want to say head in the clouds, but I guess I'm a little more optimistic. So it definitely can reflect that. Yeah. In life, balance is always a good thing. You know, too much of anything is bad. Too little of anything is bad. So
Well, it's good that you guys have that balance.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's just kind of naturally there. And I guess that's the good part with you guys being brothers. You didn't have to put a Craigslist ad out or whatever to kind of put it together. You guys knew that you worked well together and your dynamic was there. And maybe there's something to be said, too, for you've known each other your whole lives. So you know what makes the other one tick.
Right.
You know each other on a different level than just having to say something. You kind of know what the inflection or their voice, what's going on with them.
Right, right. I mean, and that even goes back to, you know, my point before. You know, we're very extremely blunt with each other. And you know, I'm not kidding on that. If I don't like something that he wrote, or if he doesn't like something that I wrote, we'll say it immediately without any, you know, any emotions being considered. It's just an extremely blunt process, and I think that works to our advantage.
And how has that worked when that's come up? Do you then go through a rewriting process, or do you just throw out whatever it is that the other one didn't like?
I don't like to use the word throw out, only because, you know, whenever you write down an idea, it's usually never in its final form. And if I don't like something in Matt's, usually it's something that we'll work on. It will change melodies, we'll change chords. And it's more of an evolving process than a slash and burn process.
And that's good, you know, that you can build on it instead of just going, nope, that's shit, and I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, sometimes that does happen, but for the most part, it's more of a, like I said, an evolving process and something that can be worked on.
And now another one of the new songs off the upcoming album Baby Steps called Late Nights.
The feeling when the light is on, the light is on me. Keep up, try to keep up. Floating down the riverside, you'll drown under. Late nights, going through my head. I can't respect them all. Say, an afterthought, leaving you cold out the door. You're down, down, but not out. Your mind is not fleeting you, it's speaking out loud. Oh. Late night.
Talked about your album that you're releasing October 1st. Tell me about the album. Tell everybody about it, what they can expect, and how much work went into it.
Sure, yeah. So it's coming out October 1st. Like you said, it's called Baby Steps, and the reason we called it Baby Steps is because we realized it's a, you know, hopefully a small step, hopefully the first small step in a long, hopefully long career, you know. And it's all the songs are with a bluesy, jazzy vibe, but they all have a very good pop sensibility, or at least I think so. I'm tooting my own horn here. They have a good saying, it has a good pop sensibility, but you know, they're all unique. All the songs are very unique, and you know, we're very excited to get it out there.
How long did it take you to kind of do the whole process of putting it together? Had you had some songs kind of sitting around and then just kind of said, okay, we're ready to do a full-length album and let's add these and build on that and get this thing going?
Yeah, the whole process took about a year. It was around this time last year when we started recording the first song that would be on Baby Steps, and it happened in clusters. It was you know, months at a time where we do you know, four songs at a time, so it happened in different sporadic moments throughout the past year.
Now, when did you finish recording it?
It was all said and done. I think it was either late May or early June when it was all said and done, in terms of the final mastering, the final cut.
So what's the delay making everybody wait till October?
The delay is we realized that we needed money to record, but we didn't realize how much it was to actually print all this stuff, because now we're doing the full booklet, the full casing, and It is a lot of money, so we're just trying to get the money together right now just to get it out there.
And that's really nice, too, you know, having all that to put in people's hands. There's, I think Indie Music Must posed that question 1 month. You know, do you prefer digital downloads, or do you prefer hard copies, or do you like vinyl?
Right.
And I think there's something to be said for each of them, and when it comes to, I like going to concerts, I like going to gigs and seeing bands and talking to the musicians and getting the CD there and getting it autographed. Now, if I don't go see the band, or if they're too far away, I'll do the digital download just because, you know, it's, I don't know, I don't need that tangible aspect of it, but I like having the tangible thing in my hand too. So I guess it just depends, you know.
Yeah.
And vinyl, I really like that vinyl's making a comeback too.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have been doing that, almost like a it's almost like a bonus for the, you know, the fans. They release a certain amount. We were actually thinking about doing that for this album, but we're just a little tight on the money. I wish we could, but for this album, you know, we figured since it's our first full length, we definitely want to do the full booklet with the lyrics lyrics and everything like that, because we hadn't done that before up until this point. I mean, with the EPs, we definitely packaged it and everything like that, but it was just a sleeve, and we're very excited to have it in the full casing and in the full booklet.
Very exciting, and you know, I've talked to other bands about the timing of writing and releasing and touring, and it seems like the summer is the time to tour, play gigs, and then you know, a lot of people release their albums in the spring, because it seems like that they go through the winter writing. So I think that having an October release date is a good thing too. That's before Christmas. And while other people are writing, you've got something new to offer and have fans, you know, look forward to.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, we're hoping everything turns out nice.
Next up is my choice song of the night, called You Are My World, off the Speed of Sound EP.
I will see the light of day, and you will grow to laugh and play. Hearts of lovers don't mean what they say, but you will learn on your own some way. Love used to be black and white. You thought you could see through the night. But now you are older, you know how it goes. Your feelings are hidden like a pot of gold. And you know we'll always be, 'cause you are my girl. With your eyes staring at me, you are my world. We've been through the war, bruised and scarred. The bridge that we built is dark and charred, but we know that crossing won't be very hard. Oh, well, let our loving blind our regard. As you know, you are my girl. With your eyes staring at me, you are my world. I'll leave it to fate, girl, until you come back for more. And if it's too late, girl, you'll hear me knock on your door. Let me say one thing before you walk on away. Never be a stranger, 'cause a stranger lives away.
Talk about the Wallflowers when you opened for them.
That was really cool. I mean, I think the coolest takeaway from that, you know, not only working with such a great crew and such an accommodating staff and stuff like that, but it was when I got off from my set. I talked to the Wallflowers bass player, and his name is Greg, and he was talking about how they were just touring in the recent past with the Rolling Stones and Tom Petty and Counting Crows, and it was just really cool to see how level-headed the guy was and down to earth he was, even when he was talking about just playing with the Rolling Stones and things like that. And he told me he really enjoyed the set, and to see a guy that was doing it for 20 plus years tell me this great advice, it's something I really took to heart, and it was a really cool experience overall. They were great.
I talked to a girl from England, a musician from there, Sophie Morgan, and one of her mentors is the bass player for The Verve. And I think that that's one thing that I think is cool, is even though I get to talk to musicians and interview people, I still have my moments where I'm a fan, you know.
Right.
And I think that musicians get that too, is, you know, it's you're still a fan of other things. So it's kind of cool when you get to perform with somebody that you really like, or, you know, you get a fanboy or fangirl over somebody. And I think sometimes people forget that you guys are fans too.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I'd freak out if I saw some artist that I'm listening to right now. So it's definitely not a fan only thing. So musicians definitely get the same thing.
Does that help you when it comes time to perform or to record, seeing things? You know, do you think of it from a fan standpoint, or do you really just look at it from the musician standpoint?
No, I think it does help me, because I do write songs from a fan's perspective. I write it from my own fan's perspective and what I would like to hear in an artist. And I think that definitely helps out, because we're all fans at heart, you know, of something. We're all fans of someone, of something. And, you know, everybody had to start somewhere. And I think that it really does help me seeing other people that I admire, and it helps me write songs, definitely.
And I think it's cool when you get feedback, like you said, from somebody that you respect or that you've seen. And I think that gives you a little, because I'm sure there are times where it's like, God, this is really hard, and it's exhausting doing all of this work, because indie musicians have to do so much work.
Right.
You know, you have to wear a lot of different hats. And there's got to be times where you're kind of like, you know, is it time to give up? Is it time to throw your hat in? And then, you know, you get little things like that where they give you feedback, and even just getting to open for them, you know, that's an adrenaline moment, and kind of probably re-energizes you too.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that he was on the side of the stage and he said great set when I got off was really cool, because before we had gone on, we hadn't seen them yet, and I wasn't sure if they were going to, you know, catch the set. And for him to say that, and to see him standing on the side of the stage when I was getting off, it was pretty cool.
And I like that too. I've seen that at gigs that I've gone to. I've seen it both ways, but I really like it. Like when one of the other acts that's performing, they don't go out and do their merchandising or anything until later, because they want to listen
right
to the other person that's performing, and they want to support them too. And I think that that's really cool. And I have mad respect for the musicians who do that and kind of say, you know, I'll take all the time with my fans later, but I really want to enjoy this too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something small, but it means a lot to the artist, you know?
I think it does. I think just knowing that somebody else that's performing is going to take that time, and it's not all about them, that means a lot.
Absolutely.
Now, I've interviewed Glitter Rose, and she's done Hard Rock Rising. She's done that out in L.A., and I see that you guys were doing that in New York City. So
yep.
Tell everybody what Hard Rock Rising is.
Yeah, it's a you know, it's one of those voting contests, and if you win, you get to play on a Hard Rock Cafe stage. And we ended up winning for the New York area, and we got into the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square, and it was very cool. Just to be on that stage and in that kind of atmosphere, it was a really cool experience. A lot of great bands too.
I think that's pretty damn cool, because it's New York, you know, so that's a big market.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've unloaded our gear so many times out of a van, but you know, to unload it in Times Square was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say that would have to be one of those moments that you just chalk up there, and you just want to sit back and look and breathe it in and kind of take it all in.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. No. It was.
And the last song of the night is one of their more popular songs, called "Parachute," off the Still Waters album.
If there's a moment I can take, giving it all until we break, nobody knows the time I spend.
Into my arms.
So what kind of big things do you have coming up now? Do you have an album release party or anything for when the album comes out?
We don't have a release party scheduled, but we something in the near future, if you're on the Long Island area, we're playing at Mulcahy's in Wantagh, and it's the Good Times Festival. It's also called the Long Island Music Festival. And we made it to the finals, and it's on August 23rd. I believe it starts at 7:30 p.m. So we're excited to play there. It's a great venue, Mulcahy's. And I've actually seen a band there myself back in high school, so it's going to be exciting to play on that stage.
Very cool. I like to be on, you know, talking about being a fan. You know, you've been from the fan's perspective at that venue,
right.
And now you're going to be on the other side. So,
right.
Very cool.
You know, I'm just excited just to play with that sound system because it's you know, top of the line. So I'm very excited about that.
And have you played festivals before?
Yep. Yeah, we've done different festivals, the Montauk Music Festival and stuff like that, different ones on the island. And we're actually doing a festival this Sunday, August 11th, up in Hudson, New York. And it's called the Hudson Music Festival, so we're excited to do that. New York is great with the festival scene.
Now, were you at Montauk this year?
We didn't do it this year. It was actually last summer. It's a it's a multi-day event, and it was really cool to play, you know?
Now, what do you prefer festivals, or do you prefer gigs in, you know, in bars or, you know, music venues?
You know, I think a good mix is the key, because it's always fun to play those intimate shows, but it's also very cool to be on a festival stage with all new faces. And you know, I would have to say they all have their advantages and disadvantages, and it really depends on the day, and it's always nice to have a balance of those kind of shows.
Do you find when you're at a festival or a bigger place, you know, more outdoors, that the energy is different with the band, that you kind of ramp it up a little bit from what you do when it's a smaller venue where you're kind of in a smaller space?
Yeah,
or do you
do
the same both?
I mean, you try to keep it the same in terms of your own energy. You don't want to let up and, you know, give someone a letdown just because it's a smaller place. But there's definitely a more intimate vibe in a smaller place that just naturally happens. And you know, there might be, you know, a little bit more of an adrenaline rush at a festival that you can't avoid. So yeah, there's definitely some differences. And but like I said, you try to keep the musicality of it consistent.
Like, I know set lists, you know, because there's some bands that I'll see, you know, perform several times. And I know depending on the vibe of that evening, you know, with the crowd or how it's gone with their opening act or whatever, that they'll change the set list, you know, there after they've decided ahead of time. And I would imagine that you would probably play different songs at a festival as opposed to indoor. Now, I don't know. You know, that could be different for you guys. You could probably do the same.
No, I would definitely agree with that. You're definitely not as afraid to play the slower tunes when you're in a smaller place because, like I said, it's more intimate and stuff like that. You definitely want to, you know, keep the higher energy ones coming out of the festival. So I would definitely agree with you there.
Now, have you had moments where you've decided on the set list and you've gotten up there and then you're like, I'm not feeling this song with the crowd tonight. I don't know that it'll go over well. And changing it on the fly, do you do that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, no, that definitely happens. You might be, you might have interpreted the crowd differently before you actually saw them. And, you know, that's definitely happened to us where we write down a song we thought we wanted to pull out that night and we're like, yeah, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea. So, yeah, a lot of things like that happen on the fly, absolutely.
Now, who kind of, do any of you make that decision? Do any of you go, hey, you know, I think maybe this song isn't a good idea tonight, or is it just one or two of you that kind of make that decision?
You know, it would be either me or Matt. We'll say, you know, I'm not feeling it so much. We might say it right before we jump on stage. We might say, you know, well, in the middle of the set. Or, you know, the opposite could happen. We could think of a song that we didn't put in and say, hey, you know, this would be really good right now. Let's do this, and we pull it out. So, yeah, but usually me or myself or Matt will, you know, make that choice.
Now, I'm a football fan, so I'm a little excited that football season's back. I've missed it. So it makes me ask this question kind of in a sportsy way.
Sure.
Do you go to venues, and do you kind of scout them or scout other performances, other gigs to kind of see what the sound system's like there, what the sound person's like, or what the crowd is like that's there, like listening rooms. Well, they'll get kind of the same people that keep coming back. Do you scout it out, or do you just kind of show up to that venue, you know, when you have to do your sound check and kind of do it on the fly from there?
You know, a lot of the venues I've played recently, I've already played at. There hasn't been too many new venues. You know, one venue that I've never played at is the one I mentioned before, Mulcahy's. But I guess there's some unofficial scouting that goes on where it might be I just happened to be there, or I've happened to have been there already. And, you know, that definitely gives me insight to the sound, the crowd, and what I can expect. As far as a planned out scouting, you know, I've never really done that. It's more just been circumstance and whether I've been there or not, you know, stuff like that, whether I've seen a show there.
I want to thank Andrew for taking the time to talk to me tonight. Sorry Matt couldn't make it. I hope everybody enjoyed the interview and hearing more about the Como Brothers, and maybe listening to their music for the first time. Go out there, buy it, support it. Tune in tomorrow night for a brand new Twitter Tuesday Live featuring Glitter Rose, who's a former guest on my show. She is also one of the hardest working indie artists out there and has a lot to share. She's a really fun person, great music. I think you'll really enjoy the show. Then I'll see you next Monday night for another episode of Indie Views Artist Spotlight.